Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Welcome, friends, to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler. Within the last month, we've had an eclipse, 11 days ago, a major hurricane, and now another hurricane named Irma on her way to the U.S. coast, and catastrophic fires burning out of control in the Northwest United States. In addition to all of this, dozens of savage hailstorms and tornadoes have wreaked havoc across the United States so far this year, causing billions of dollars of damage and leading to the second most disaster-laden season on record. Now, just so you know what the numbers are, so far in 2017, the first 8 months of this year, the U.S. has endured 49 separate weather, climate, and flood disasters. And of course, this is all according to data from a global reinsurance firm called Munich Re. And that tied us with 2009 as the second highest January to June number on record. Only 2012, which had 59 such weather-related events, had more. And of course, Munich Re is an organization, again, that's been charting this, and their data goes all the way back to 1980. Ferocious hailstorms battered Denver in May and Dallas in March, and they were among the top costliest U.S. disasters. At over $2.1 billion in damage, the Denver hailstorm was likely the city's costliest hailstorm on record. And again, with that, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. Again, I am Dave Kistler. I'm joined today by Dr. Gary Dahl. Sam Rohr is still away. And our special guest today is going to be Dr. Jimmy DeYoung of Prophecy Today. And we're going to take a little bit different track today than we normally do. We're not going to be talking specifically about the Middle East, though there will be a prophetic component to some of the things we discuss as Dr. Jimmy shares with us. But our theme today is going to be this: America Under Assault, Making Sense of the Siege. Let me share just a little bit more with you with respect to these stunning statistics that of what has happened in the United States over the last 6 to 8 months. The number of weather disasters this year is more than the 10-year average, which has been around 45 such natural disasters annually. And by the way, a disaster is defined as an event that causes at least one death and or causes $3 million or more dollars in damage. Sometimes these are also called what the insurance company calls loss events. The overall cost of USA's disasters this year is estimated to be at $21 billion, of which $14.2 billion will be insured. And of course, that is close to average for the past decade. The cause of all of these? Well, according to the U.S. Geological Survey, they're saying the unusual atmospheric conditions in the United States in the first half of this year has provided the perfect conditions for powerful supercell thunderstorms, which invariably bring hailstorms, tornadoes, and a host of weather-related events. Peter Hoppe, who is the head of Munich Re's geo research team, said the following: the number of tornadoes observed in the first quarter of 2017 was twice as high as the average for the last 10 years. And then through the end of June, tornadoes have killed 34 Americans, which is just under half the typical yearly fatality total. And that according to the Storm Prediction Center. Gary, I want to go to you. I was asked yesterday at lunch this question, and I'm going to pose it to you. And there's no other way to word it than this: what in the world is going on in the United States of America? We've got all these storms, we've got hurricanes, we've got fires. Gary, what is going on?
Well, you know, Dave, I know many people are asking that question, and I go back to Nahum chapter 1 and verse 3 that really reminds us that, you know, God will not acquit the wicked. And the fact of the matter is he has his way in the storm, in the wind, and I really think that that's what we are seeing today. On Sunday, I talked to my congregation a little bit about this, and I brought up the concept of the Noahic flood. And, you know, the interesting thing about the flood, when you look at the concept of first principle in Scripture, the biblical purpose of a flood is for destruction. Now, we understand what took place in Noah's day, and of course we know that God is not going to destroy the whole world by way of a flood again. But I believe from the biblical perspective that when you see these storms and these hurricanes and these floods coming, God, who causes, allows, or directs all things to happen, is behind it to bring judgment upon people. And therefore, when we see things like this taking place, we've got to take a good look at ourselves and see, well, what is it that we are being judged for? What do we need to repent of? What do we need to do to get back to God? That's what I shared with my congregation last Sunday, Dave.
Well, Gary, again, you're reading my mind. I was going to ask you how you've chosen to frame all of these disasters as far as addressing it with your church congregation, and you've shared with us what you did. I want to go to Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Dr. Jimmy, yesterday, and by the way, welcome to the program, but yesterday I spoke in chapel at a large Christian school here in the Portland area, and of course there are a number of young people in the school whose families had to evacuate through the evening prior. And it was just, to me, it was just too significant an event not to try to address it from the standpoint biblically. And I spoke on this topic. If the wildfires that we're watching rage across the area of Portland, the western part of the state, if that is severe, which it is, imagine what it's going to be like to be in the flames of an eternal hell for all eternity. And so that's what I spoke on. And the Lord worked. We had, I think it was 12 young people that trusted Christ as Savior. But Dr. Jimmy, in the midst of all of this, is it time for the pulpits of America to scream out, so to speak, with a clarion voice, wake up, America, wake up, American church? Is it time that we make appropriate application? And what about those that refuse to do that, who speak smooth things and soft things and won't address these issues?
Well, I do believe it is time for not only America to wake up, but especially the church and the pulpits to wake up as we see all these things happening. By the way, thank you guys for having me on the broadcast, and they do be safe out there. I've been talking with some people out west, and they said that these fires are just unbelievable. Praise the Lord for the way you practically used your surroundings to accomplish God's will and see people get saved. Let me remind everybody that God, as Gary alluded to just a moment ago, that God is in charge of the weather. And let's think ahead. Since I'm a prophecy teacher, I'm always in that mindset. In the future tribulation, that seven-year period of time of judgment yet to come, God is going to use ecological judgments here on the earth to get the attention of those that are left during the tribulation, ultimately to bring him to salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, for example, the trumpet judgments. In Revelation chapter 8, verses 7 to 9, the first two. Let me just look at the first two. That first trumpet judgment is going to be hail falling out of heaven, which will be originated by God. It will be mixed with fire and blood. It will fall upon the earth. It will destroy all of the grass on the earth and one-third of the trees. The second one, the oceans turn to blood, a third of them. We must be reminded of what's coming in the future and allow that to motivate us, like you did yesterday, to do God's plan for these times. We're living in awesome times.
Wow, great application, Dr. Jimmy. Thank you. That puts it in proper perspective. Well, friends, when we come back from the break, we're going to go from a literal firestorm here in this part of the country to a brewing political one as a result of what President Trump did yesterday through his attorney general as we continue with this theme, America Under Assault, Making Sense of the Siege. Join us right after this brief timeout.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, yesterday morning, President Trump, through his Attorney General Jeff Sessions, ended an Obama-era executive action called DACA, which stands for Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. The program basically protects for 2 years the children of illegals from deportation, allowing them to work here free of any fear. Concerns were that ultimately get lost in the shadows over those 2 years and never have to face the music with respect to living here illegally. As well, certain benefits available to legal citizens would be extended to DACA recipients. So this has been a hot issue. And the president's reversal of this Obama action is stirring up passionate emotions, as you can well imagine, making the president and all who support his action yesterday come under assault. And again, that is our theme today, America under assault, making sense of the siege. Gary, one of the items that desperately needed sense made of was this issue with respect to DACA. Very few, after the decision on the part of President Trump yesterday, are arguing this issue on the basis of legality. And here's why they're not. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4 of the Constitution says that Congress has the responsibility to, quote, establish a uniform rule of naturalization. So what the president did yesterday by saying Congress has 6 months to come up with a workable answer, a workable plan with respect to the children of illegal immigrants, him putting it in the court of Congress really constitutionally is the place it should be. So most people are admitting that Obama's decision to do what he did with what they're calling the Dreamers, as they're called, was not a constitutional action. It was done via executive action rather than legislatively. And again, that's been part of the problem. So the argument is being made, Gary, not based on legality, but based on this argument. We're lacking in compassion. We don't have emotions for those that are here illegally. We're going to be dividing families. Let me ask you, what about the accusation that if we enforce our laws in a just way, we are lacking in compassion for immigrants? I'd love for you to address that.
Well, first of all, I do not agree with that particular argument. Secondly, I want to say that, Obama himself, President Obama himself, said when he had this executive order for DACA that it was only going to be a stopgap situation. And so it does need to be addressed. David, the thing that concerns me in this whole matter is that what we are seeing here is a symptom in the United States of America of the fact that we have become antinomian. We have put off, as it were, the rule of law. And, you know, the United States of America was founded on the rule of law. We want immigrants to come in, but we want them to come in legally and in the proper way. Any particular nation, when it relates to immigration, must be wise to guide and direct who will come in and when they will come in. That's the legal standard. These folks are illegals. They are against the law. And so when people come along and say that, if we enforce our laws in a just way, we lack compassion for immigrants, they don't understand that laws are what are needed in order to make a nation strong. A nation must have borders. God established that, did he not, in the book of Acts chapter 17, I believe it's verse 26. And so if we are going to strengthen this nation, then we must, yes, on one hand, allow for immigrants to come in, but to come in a legal way and to maintain our laws in doing it. That's not acting on emotion. That's acting upon law, and law always leads to the right result.
Gary, I'm glad you brought that up because I want to go to Dr. Jimmy and ask him a question. There is a prophetic component to what Gary just said. This lawless spirit that dominates so much of culture in general and certainly American culture and seems to be on the rise is something that the scriptures themselves predict as being part of the end time. Dr. Jimmy, I'd love for you to address that.
I'm not exactly sure where Jimmy went, Dave.
Well,
maybe the rapture took place and he didn't tell us.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
There we have you back. Dr. Jimmy, if you could address this issue of the lawlessness in our culture, because there is a prophetic component to that.
You know, I bet you guys thought the rapture happened there for a moment.
Well, I just said anyway. That, Jimmy. I said, I bet the rapture took place and you didn't tell us.
Lawlessness is one of the great indicators that we are living in the last days. That's absolute. Let me remind everybody that there is a definition for a nation. What makes up a nation and all of these nations across the world? There's three components. Number one, you have to have a people who want to be that nation. Number two, you have to have a piece of real estate, a land. And thirdly, you have to have a law for those people in that land. Now, America is a nation of laws. Gary just made that statement. We cannot do that which we think is right in our own eyes. And in fact, we cannot be without a standard, which is our Constitution of the United States, which is patterned after the Bible, of course. So we go back to Israel. Israel is a perfect example. You must obey or you'll be chastised. Deuteronomy chapter 28 talks about the Jewish people. In the first 15 verses of Deuteronomy, the Lord tells Israel, you'll be the top of all the nations in the world. You'll be the head of all nations if you obey the laws that I give you. But if not, and from verse 16 through the rest of the chapter of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, they're going to be chastised. They're going to have to be dealt with. You know, that's God's plan. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6. In fact, he says, I love those people that I chastise. And so if you're not going to obey the law, you've got to be ready to pay the consequences. You're going to have to be chastised. Love, actually, when we stop to think about it, love calls for obedience or punishment. Without that, there is lawlessness, and that, of course, leads to the one who will be in charge of a lawless world, the Antichrist. There is significance as we're watching America move away from the Constitution, go into a philosophy of lawlessness. It's anticipating what's going to happen in the future.
Yesterday, President Trump expressed this gentleman. He said, I have, quote, great love for the so-called dreamers affected by his administration decision to end this program, giving illegals who come here a reprieve for basically 2 years. But immediately following that, Gary, he also emphasized in a tweet that he wants lawmakers to put, quote, hardworking citizens of our country first when crafting immigration legislation. Is there, Gary, in your mind, anything wrong with that? Because some are saying, you know, that is a selfish statement, that is a nationalistic statement, as if there's something wrong with putting the citizens of our country first. Is that a problem?
Well, it's not a problem. I think maybe the biggest problem would be to find hardworking citizens.
I mean, that's a good point.
I dealt with this a little bit again last Sunday in my church because it was Labor Day weekend, and I spoke on labor. You know, the Bible speaks to three types of labor. It speaks of spiritual labor, physical labor, and divine labor. And I spoke on those three elements of labor from the Word of God. And of course, we know the Bible teaches us that we're not to be slothful. And the fact of the matter is, if we don't work, we do not eat. Just throw that out, David. You don't have to pay for that today. But I do not disagree with this at all. I think this shows the balance of Donald Trump in that statement. In other words, he does have concern for the dreamers, as it were, and we all do. We all do. But again, this is the United States of America. We are a country. And it's not wrong to say that the hardworking citizens of our country must come first when drafting immigration legislation. I think that that's absolutely correct.
Dr. Jimmy, let me go to you in the couple of minutes we have before we have to end this segment. You talked about the lawlessness that will be embodied in this person called the Antichrist. Could you take us to 2 Thessalonians 2 and just give us a little bit of an explanation of who this Antichrist figure is going to be? And maybe more importantly, obviously we don't know his name, but how is he going to operate that the Bible would call him the wicked one or the lawless one? What's going to be his method of operation in the end time during that tribulation period that would earn him that title?
Well, there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Antichrist is referred to as the wicked one, the son of perdition, the man of sin. He comes to power because a world has gone crazy. Economically, they've gone off the rails. They don't know how to pull it back together. So he comes to power, actually in Rome, Italy, with the revived Roman Empire, and he sets up in the midway point of the tribulation period an economic system that'll work. You have to have a mark on your forehead or the back of the hand to be able to buy or sell. Now, that's not saved people. They go out at the rapture. We're talking about lost people. But economically, we're in real straits as far as the entire world, and even here in the United States as well. There's nothing wrong with the president of the United States, in my opinion, who is not the one who makes laws. He's the one who executes laws and makes sure that we follow through as a nation to abide by these laws. So he threw it back to the House of Representatives, the United States Senate. Those are people who are to make the laws. And so that's all he's endeavoring to try to do. But the Antichrist will make the law when he comes to power. And as this lawless one, when the world is in terrible straits economically, well, as every other way you can think about, the Antichrist takes charge, which is in the near future.
Excellent. Thank you, Dr. Jimmy. Well, friends, when we come back from the break, North Korea pushes toward the brink of war. In fact, according to UN Ambassador Nikki Haley, she said they are, quote, begging for war. Well, if they are, what would that war look like? As we continue this discussion, America Under Assault, Making Sense of the Siege. Don't miss this next segment right after this very brief timeout on Stand in the Gap Today.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Dave Kistler. I'm joined today by Dr. Gary Dull and our special guest, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. And we're going to move over into the Korean Peninsula in this segment. But before we do, Gary, there is a way that those that listen to this program regularly can follow not only what we do here, but can receive information from us on a very regular basis. Would you share with them how they can go about doing that?
Yes, Dave, I'd be happy to. It's called Join by Text. And in reality, if you'd like to join our network and be alerted to upcoming events and promotions, or even just receive more information about the American Pastors Network, then we encourage you to do something that you can do right there, right now, in the palm of your own hand. Take out your phone and simply text the word STAND to 44144. That is STAND, S-T-A-N-D, to 44144. I'll repeat that again. STAND, S-T-A-N-D, to 44144. When you do that, you will immediately receive a text reply asking for your email address. And once you reply with your email, then you'll receive another immediate text reply with links to download our APN app from the Apple Store or from Google Play. Now, once you download and open the app, you'll find a sign-up option at the top where you can sign up to receive our weekly email updates. And I would certainly encourage you to do that. That way we can be in touch with you every moment of every day, practically. Anyway, anytime you want us to be in touch with you, and you can follow us. Again, all you need to do is to type in text STAND to 44144 and follow the instructions as to how you can continue to receive information from us on a regular basis. Dave?
Gary, thank you so very, very much. And friends, we encourage you to do this. I am hearing on a repeated basis and a very regular basis from people all over the United States where I'm speaking who listen to the program. They are saying things like this: I have ceased listening to network news, certainly a long time ago, and I'm really not listening any longer to cable news. I am going to Stand in the Gap today to get my news. And friends, we understand that if you're choosing to do that, that places on us a very heavy responsibility to be as prepared as we can possibly be. And we certainly work that way and work to be that way and to do that. And so we are honored that you're choosing to listen to the program. And this text information and following the instructions Gary just gave is one additional way you can stay aware and up to date with what's going on in the world as we try to bring to you the latest information, thoroughly researched and presented to you in a very truthful format, unmitigated truth, as we try to say here. So I encourage you to do what Gary did and follow those instructions, and you can begin to stay attuned with what's going on. Well, gentlemen, over the weekend, North Korea released some very rare images of its secret scientists tasked with bringing nuclear destruction to Kim Jong-un's Western enemies. And the scientists are blacklisted across the globe, but according to what was released by North Korea, they're hailed as heroes, working around the clock to make the country a nuclear superpower. The photos were released just hours ahead of last weekend's nuclear test, and they showed two men, one by the name of Ri Hong-sop and the other one by the name of Hong Sung-mu. They were flanking Kim Jong-un as he inspected what looked like a peanut-shaped warhead. And Ri Hong is the head of North Korea's Nuclear Weapons Institute, and Hong Sung is a deputy director of the Workers' Party of Korea, and he works in the munitions industry department. Included in this release of pictures was an analysis of what an attack on London by North Korea would look like. In fact, friends, an attack on the heart of London, according to what was released, would utterly destroy about 9 square miles of the city, instantly killing tens of thousands. And in very horrifying clarity, the extent to which an H-bomb attack would impact all corners of that city is unbelievable. A website called Nuke Map claims that around 130,000 people would die if a blast were to be detonated in London, and a staggering 355,000 plus people would sustain injuries in the event of a hypothetical H-bomb landing in Trafalgar Square. And by the way, that square is right in the city of Westminster. It's central London. It's where Westminster Abbey is located, Big Ben, House of Parliament. I've been in that location many, many times. So, Gary, not only is America under assault politically, weather-wise, we're under assault by North Korea. And the bottom line is this, Gary, from my perspective, we have to do something. But the question is, what do we do? I'd love to have your thoughts.
Well, if I would really have the right answer that people would believe, I would probably be a millionaire, David, and I'd share it with you. But the fact of the matter is, I think I do have the answer, because there are some options. You can do nothing. You can have a preemptive strike. Certainly, China needs to get involved, and I think that that's a real key. We know additional sanctions on North Korea have been given, and I think that we could probably do that as well. But I want to try to make this as simple as I possibly can from the biblical perspective, and I really mean that. I think that we as Christians need to pray that our national leaders will have wisdom to do what's right. The fact of the matter is, this matter with North Korea has been going on for decades. And there have been various presidential administrations attempt to do what they can to deal with the issues there, and they failed. That's why we are where we are today. I think, David, and I don't mean to make this simplistic, but James chapter 1 and verse 5 tells us that if we lack wisdom, that we should ask God, who will give it in a great way without blaming us for not having it in the first place. And I think that we need to pray, Christians need to pray, that God will give our leaders the wisdom to do what needs to be done. Certainly, the first option is not to do anything. Preemptive strike, I think, is just going to create greater circumstances around the world. But I do think that we just really need to pray and ask God to give us wisdom, give our leaders wisdom, and see how he leads on that. David, let me say this, and then I'll let you take it. I do believe that the generals that President Trump has around him right now are men who understand this issue. I have confidence that in time, they will do the right thing. Nikki Haley up there at the United Nations has given some great admonitions. She's a born-again believer, as I understand. I think that she will be a part of that leadership team. I think I can say, from my personal opinion, that our leadership probably will do the right thing in the right time, in the right way. We just need to pray for that.
Well, Gary, I certainly concur with you on that. And of course, over the weekend, there were additional sanctions brought against North Korea, as well as Chinese businesses who do business in North Korea. And then yesterday, the president announced that there will be some incredibly technologically advanced military hardware that will be made available to Japan. We're going to sell that to Japan and South Korea. And so all of that is factoring in. Dr. Jimmy, let me go to you. You're watching this from a prophetic perspective. And while North Korea is not specifically mentioned in that configuration of nations in Ezekiel 38, they are a player and they are going to have to be dealt with. Give your perspective from a prophetic point of view as to what we can do. What can our leaders do to deal with this problem? Because it is a brewing crisis.
Well, indeed, it is a brewing crisis. And the fact is, as I was listening to Gary respond to your question, the solution for North Korea today is going to have to be a tough decision by political leaders who we should pray for them to have wisdom. But let me think about North Korea biblically and prophetically. You're right, North Korea by name is not mentioned, and especially in Ezekiel 38, because that's the war that's next in the first 6 months of the tribulation period. But that's a seven-year period of time, and in the last 6 months, you come to what are referred to the mild judgments in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 12, where it says that the river Euphrates will be dried up, making way for the kings of the east. Now, we're talking about the major players in the Far East would be, of course, China and India, but that would also include South Korea, North Korea, Japan, and all of those Far Eastern nations out there. Remember, by that time, half the Earth's population is going to be dead, and so when they gather all nations in Jerusalem, North Korea, if they're still in existence at that time, will be a part of those kings of the East that are coming into Jerusalem to try to stop the return of Jesus Christ. But again, North Korea is playing a role today in the Middle East. Remember what George W. Bush said. He talked about an axis of evil, and that included three nations, North Korea, Iran, and Syria, all players today. For example, North Korea tried to put up a chemical weapons plant in Syria. The Israeli Air Force took it out. And the other day tried to get a shipment of chemical weapons into Syria, along with ballistic missiles. They were intercepted. North Korea and Iran have a connection. Both of them are endeavoring to try to develop a nuclear weapon of mass destruction in our world, evidence of technology and technicians being exchanged. I believe that Iran is watching the United States. If they cave into North Korea, Iran is on the move to fulfill Bible prophecy from Ezekiel 38. But remember, they come at the end, Revelation chapter 16, verse 12.
Dr. Jimmy, excellent prophetic perspective. And friends, when we come back after the break, we're going to discuss in our solution segment what can be done to make sense of all the political, environmental, foreign policy siege that America is currently under. And friends, we want to leave you encouraged, so don't miss our final segment coming up.
Back in 1993, MediShare was known as the best-kept secret in healthcare. But not anymore. Today, there are hundreds of thousands of Americans who've discovered what us long-timers have known since the beginning. MediShare is affordable healthcare that really works. The great thing is, we're not an insurance company. We're a nonprofit community. Hundreds of thousands of honest, hardworking people who agree to share each other's medical bills. Every share goes to help a fellow member. And when we say affordable, we mean it's common for our members to save upwards of $500 a month. Best of all, MediShare is always open. You can join anytime. So how about now? Isn't it time you joined MediShare?
Call 844-45-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your health care. MediShare, now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
1 Kings 3, verses 16 through 18 recounts the story of two mothers living in the same house. Each of the mothers had an infant son, and the two mothers come to Solomon. Here's the dilemma. One of the babies had died, and each of the mothers claimed the remaining boy as her own. Calling for a sword, Solomon declared his judgment. The baby would be cut in two, and each woman would receive half. Do you remember the story? Well, one of the mothers did not contest that ruling, declaring that if she could not have the baby, neither of them could. But you'll well remember the other woman begged Solomon, no, give the baby to her. Give the baby to her. Just don't kill it. Well, the king declared the second woman to be the true mother, as a mother would be willing to give up her baby if that would save its life. Of course, that judgment became known throughout all Israel as an example of the profound wisdom God had given Solomon. Gentlemen, it appears that we're living in a time frame and have been for some time, but especially now, where this kind of wisdom is that which our national leaders desperately need. And Gary, you've already alluded to it earlier in the last segment, but the scripture says in James 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And the word upbraideth means he won't scold or chastise if you ask. So ask for that wisdom, and the latter part of verse 5 of James 1 says, and it shall be given to him. Gary, let me go to you first, and then I want to come to Dr. Jimmy. The decisions that have to be made in America today are beyond man's ability to solve. We've talked about this, that prior presidents have searched for answers. They've come up empty. The fact that this president, Donald Trump, repeatedly has prayer at his rallies, he brings this group of 28 people that are part of his spiritual advisory team or some portion of them to the White House on a regular basis for prayer. He is encouraging the American people to pray. He is acknowledging that in the midst of this terrible disaster that was Hurricane Harvey, that the answer is not government, the answer is God. Gary, does that signal to you that this administration may find a solution to some of these perplexing issues that no prior administration has yet been able to find?
Well, Dave, I think that's a possibility. We talked a little bit about that yesterday because, you know, as we talked about President Trump's motives as to why he's doing these things, he does have those spiritual leaders around him on a regular basis. We heard that great prayer by Dr. Jeffers the other night from the Oval Office for the president. And I do think that what you were suggesting there, Dave, is a great possibility, that God may give this administration the wisdom that's needed to lead this nation in a more righteous way. And, of course, we must not forget Proverbs 14:34 that says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. But having said that, Let me just throw out quickly, because I know that Dr. Jimmy is going to have some prophetic utterances to give us here with regard to this that will make it practical, and I can't wait to hear it. But four R's I think that we need as people in this nation to take into consideration. Number one, we need to recognize who God is, the sovereign God who is the builder of all nations. Number two, we need to repent of our sins, both personal and national, such as taking God out of schools, abortion, toleration of homosexuality, and even, as we talked earlier today, lawlessness. I think that number three, we need to restore the motto of the United States of America into truth. In God we trust. We need to make that our conviction. And then number four, we need to revive the church. Now, only God sends revival. But I think that as believers, when I say we need to revive the church, we need to see that the church gets back to God's word, that we get back to dedicated Christian living, that we get back to evangelism, and then fulfill our purpose of being the pillar and the ground of truth, according to 1 Timothy 3:16. I think if we as the American people would do that, God would in turn, I believe, lead, direct, bless our administration in Washington, D.C., to give us a stronger America than we've ever had before. Just my opinion.
Gary, outstanding. Thank you. Thank you so much. Dr. Jimmy, you're watching this again, always, as you said early in the program, from a prophetic viewpoint. What are you hearing as you talk with people in the Middle East? What are you seeing as you travel like I do across the United States, as you watch the president like no administration in our lifetime? You'd have to go all the way back to the Reagan administration to find anything even remotely close to this. You have a president who is constantly referring to God, constantly having prayer, has around him men of spiritual wisdom that are giving him advice. Do we sit on the threshold of perhaps finding answers, at least temporary answers, to some of these dilemmas that no other presidential administration has been able to find? Do we sit on the verge of that?
Well, indeed, I do think we are on the verge of that happening. We want to remember what God's word says for we as Christians, as it relates to these political leaders over there in 1 Timothy chapter 2, to pray for those in higher authority. And it talks about supplication, specifically asking something. It talks about simply prayer at all times, talks about thanksgiving, talks about intercession for them. So we need to pray they get saved. We need to pray they'll pay attention to biblical principle. We need to pray that they'll apply these biblical principles, and we must lift them up to the throne of God on a daily basis. The Bible talks about, in the book of Proverbs, as Gary mentioned, that wisdom, we talked about James 1:5, that wisdom follows a fear of the Lord, a reverential fear of the Lord, and it's to be willing to obey God. But then I come to the fact that God is going to use these world leaders to accomplish his will. At Revelation 17:17, he said he puts in the hearts of these leaders to do his will. So if we pray for those in higher authority, in leadership, and pray that they'll be saved, be willing to obey God, to listen to what he says, I believe they'll be open to then have God put in their hearts to do his will.
Again, excellent admonition. Dr. Gary, could I do this? I want to go to you and have you close us out in prayer. We always try to end this program in prayer. We need wisdom like we've never needed it before. So if you would take us to the throne of grace and pray that what Dr. Jimmy has just said, what you have so powerfully recommended, that our leaders will seek God's wisdom, accept that wisdom, and then implement that wisdom.
Dave, I'd be happy to, and I'd like to pray and claim James 1:5, where, as you've mentioned it, Jimmy's mentioned it, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. And then, of course, as Dr. Jimmy brought out there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, that we are to be praying for those who are in authority. 1 Timothy 2, we are to be praying for those who are in authority, that we, may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And of course, this is the will of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we come to you today, we thank you that you give us the answer to every situation in your word. And even as we've been talking about it today, the leaders of our country need your wisdom. They are there in Washington, D.C. right now, in various parts of the world, talking about what to do. I pray that you'll pour your wisdom out upon them in a great way so that they will be able to go forth in strength and in accordance with your will. And remind us through your Spirit as Christians to be praying for those who are in positions of authority. And we'll thank you for the way that you'll work. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, thank you, Dr. Gary. Thank you, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, for being with us today. And friends, thank you for joining us. We encourage you to come back tomorrow, 23 hours from now, for our next venture into truth on Stand in the Gap Today. And until then, stand up for truth where you are and speak boldly the truth of God's word.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.